0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we edge towards Scottish Cup semi-final weekend. We'll hear from one former Celtic captain who thinks it's ominous for Rangers that his former side are winning the head-to-heads without being at their best. Amid boardroom change, what's next at Ibrox? Could it be the signing of Jack Butland? And Hibs win their appeal against James Jago's red card at the weekend. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me is Simon Donnelly and Cammy Bell. Cammy, weeks in Scottish football don't come much bigger than this.
No, definitely not. I think we're building up to a huge weekend and a massive weekend for Rangers. I think it's make or break for them. They need to get a result out of this game on Sunday, or I think the pressure will start mounting on the players and the manager and all the staff.
I mean, it's Wednesday night, in case anyone hadn't noticed, Simon. By our standards, this is late to start the build-up. We've usually done it by now, but I think these fixtures, now that weekend's out the way, if you like, and the fixtures for the league were announced yesterday, yeah, it feels like the eyes are starting to point towards this weekend.
Yeah, it's slowly but surely beginning to heat up. Big game on Sunday. I think the incentive for both clubs, you know, as Cammy says there, it's looking like it's only going to be Rangers' chance of silverware. Celtic have an eye on a treble. But of course, we've got the game on the Saturday that everybody seems to not be talking about yet, Falkirk Inverness. But I think the winner of the Rangers-Celtic game obviously will be huge favourites to go and win the cup.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. That's the number you need. We're all desperate to hear from you, so pick up the phone and let us know what is on your mind. If it is just a general preview of this weekend's action, then fine, let's do it. Let's start it. It is midweek. I think we can build up for the next few days to games of this magnitude. In terms of maybe what's hitting the headlines, here's one for you Rangers fans. And we've got a goalkeeper in the studio as well. We didn't get around to this last night. It was so busy. What about the links with Jack Butland? Is that doing it for you? Is that the answer to the goalkeeping gap that's going to presumably open up when Alan McGregor, like I say, presumably leaves at the end of the season? What would you make of that? Is that a signing that excites you? Is that one you think you can build from the back on? Or have you got other ideas? Is there anything about it that you don't like? Let us know, because it seems to be picking up a bit of pace, certainly. He's obviously a well-known name, that's for sure. But what do you think, Rangers fans? That might be an interesting one to kick off on if you don't want to go immediately to the game at the weekend. Jack Butland, is that a link that you're happy with? Is that a signing you want to see happen? Would you rather a different goalkeeping option is explored? Let us know right now, 0141 951 1025. Of course, it's often about the Rangers rebuild and what's next for you Celtic fans. Maybe you're just more focused on the weekend. What's the early feelings then about the injuries? Who are you desperate to see returning? Are there players you think you can live without? Are there others that you're desperate to get good news on as this week progresses? Again, same number, let us know, 0141 951 1025. By the way, if there's any Inverness or Falkirk fans out there, come on, don't let the big one on Sunday overshadow. You want your limelight, now is the time to air your grievances. And we like a good disciplinary Barney in here, don't we?
Was there a reprieve today?
If there's any Hibs fans, yeah, there was a successful appeal this time. This time last week it was a very unsuccessful appeal for Graeme Shinney. James Jago has won his. Is that justice? Are you all happy with that?
Absolutely justice. And it was very frustrating for me to even watch that decision getting given the way that it was. I just couldn't get my head around the way the referee had. And a lesson referees have spoke about it since then. And that makes me question how referees see the game compared to myself. It was definite justice has been done. I don't even think it was a yellow card, mind you, so it's been rescinded to a yellow, but I think that's a little bit harsh on him.
Do you think it's a foul at all?
No, I didn't think it was a foul, no.
These aren't going away, Simon, and these ones are particularly...
They'll always be debated, but the most important thing is, you know, it didn't affect... The Hibs were so tight to get to that top six, you know, it could have affected them. So thankfully it didn't.
These things are alarming in one regard. I mean, look, it happens. I think I saw it happen in English Premier League earlier this season. Was it Aston Villa? But it's not great. We've now had a couple where, because of the way the system works, if the ref gives it and VAR, you know, upholds it, but then it's won on the appeal. You think just a terrible look for the system.
It doesn't look good. And what I would say down in England, they're doing well. And since Howard Webb's came into it down there, I think they communicate very well. But also, if a referee makes the decision, he then gets put to a side for a game. So it's like a player. If you don't play well as a player, there's a chance that you could lose your position in the team.
Punished.
And I think that's what they should be doing to referees up here. If they listen, they're human. They're going to get things wrong, but also there's a consequence that comes with that. And it just feels like nothing really happens to them if they get the decisions wrong.
Well, maybe there are Hibs fans or interested neutrals out there that want to lash out on that one. You can do 01419511025. You've got that. You've got the big games to build up to this weekend. We had a fair bit on significant, very significant boardroom change at Ibrox last night. So if you want to keep going on that, you can. What about the signing business though? We didn't take any calls on it last night. We were so busy doing other things. And it won't go away yet. We've not had the chance to ask Michael Beale. So Rangers fans, are you definitely looking for a new keeper first and foremost? Is Alan McGregor definitely going to call it quits in your mind? And if so, Jack Butland, would that be one that you would be happy with? Give us all your thoughts on those rumours that are doing the rounds. 0141 951 1025 or Twitter, as always, at Clyde SSB. Right, Simon, you can kick back and relax. Resident goalie Jack Butland, a goer for you?
Yeah, I can see why they would be interested in him. Listen, I don't know what cost he would come up. I think he would be probably expecting big wages, the clubs that he's at the moment, obviously Crystal Palace, but at Manchester United. So yeah, I think he fits the model that he's played at a big club. He's been international with England as well, so he's played a number of times with them. So he kind of fits the model. I think, listen, Rangers should be looking at a goalie who's experienced, like what Joe Hart is at Celtic. I think you need a goalie that's been there and done it at the top level, and it's hard to find that. So it's going to be really difficult to replace Alan McGregor, but I think Jack Butland's one that, yes, I could see possibly happening.
Seems quite simple to, well, we'll find out what the listeners think, of course, Simon, but it feels quite simple to see the two sides of this, where Jack Butland has played for some massive clubs. He's still only 30. Yeah. He's played for England. There's clearly a pedigree there. There's your good side.
Yeah.
And on the other side, he's not played a single game this season and only played twice last season. So
yeah,
fairly obvious. It just depends for each individual caller. They can tell us how they, what weight they give to both of those.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be honest, I googled to get his stats there just as you brought his name up, and I did notice that. And the first thing I looked at was the age. The age is good for a goalkeeper, obviously, and he does have that experience. As Cammy said there, he's got the experience of being around big clubs. He's been away with England, you know, so that would stand him in good stead to come to a club like Rangers. But as you highlight as well, the concern is he hasn't played a lot of football over the last two seasons.
One good thing maybe is that we'll look at Joe Hart. When he came to Celtic, before he came to Celtic, hadn't played a lot of football in recent years. So very similar.
Yeah, it's funny because I've seen people immediately point out, yeah, but he'd played more football than that, which is, you're never going to get an exact comparison.
No.
But interesting. Well, let's find out. Let's take the temperature out there. George is a Rangers fan. What would you think of that as a goalkeeping option for next season, George?
It's an interesting one. I mean, yes, he has got extensive experience. He is a good age. He's 30, like you said, Mike. And the height of him is also at an advantage. I used to play football quite a lot in fives and sevens, and I was a goalkeeper. And having a good height and being able to command your box and dive is good. My main concern is that his injury record has been quite extensive over the last couple of years. If you look at the appearances that he's had at his clubs over the last 2 years, they've been quite sparse. And my concern is we signed Aaron Ramsey on his experience when he also had a history of injuries, so that is something to take into account. It's an option. Whether it is a good option, whether he's still nursing some long-term injuries, that's a gamble.
I just realised I had this fat fingers and all that. It was the two games that I referenced, that was the season before, so it was last season was 15 appearances and two the season before. And none yet this season, obviously, being on loan at Man United. Just to correct myself, is it different at all, Cammy, if this was an outfield player with that lack of game time in recent seasons? Is it not as severe when you're talking about a goalkeeper? Or
I think it is different to an outfield player. I think because he has played at that high level, he'll have learned from being in changing rooms with big clubs and experience these big high pressured games, and that's obviously what he would come and face if he did sign for Rangers, is this high pressure games that you need to win every week. And that's why I mentioned Joe Hart. He'd been at Man City, a club that needed to win every single week, and I think that's why he's fitted into the Celtic model very, very well and handled the expectations very well. And yeah, I think Jack Butland has got that. He's been at clubs, he's at Manchester United at the moment, so he's not playing, but he's still in around the squad, so he gets the expectations that are needed week in, week out, the standards that need to be there. So he's got that model. I agree that he has had injuries in his past, but more so he's found his still at clubs that he's not really found his still as a number one, to be honest, in the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, most of his football recent seasons, you know, it's Championship football, yeah, isn't it? Simon, the disclaimer, I acknowledge we are comparing apples and oranges here because Joe Hart had played more games, right? But yeah, but you can see the rough similarities. And just to look at it from an even further point of view, take someone like Craig Gordon, who had retired, yeah, if you like. Yeah. I just wonder if it's just a bit easier when it's a goalkeeper to bounce back from these things.
There's a goalie in the studio, so I need to be careful what I'm saying. But it's a different position to an outfield player.
Slaughtered, yeah, him, it's fine.
It's different. You know,
they're not fit, they're lazy.
You're not covering the same distance. That's but again, Cammy will have all the other arguments that you have to be up there with the match speed and whatever, and reaction time and whatever. So it's, listen, the ideal scenario is the guy's playing regular. But I don't know. I don't know why he hasn't been. I don't know if it's one particular injury or a series of. We don't know.
Yeah, I mean, George, for a start, are we in this discussion because is it a foregone conclusion? You don't think there's any way that Alan McGregor plays next season?
Just speaking with Harry, I said,
Sorry, 2 seconds.
Oh, don't let us interrupt you, George. It's fine. You crack on. Let us know when you're ready.
He's on the other phone.
Sorry, I hit a button on my mobile phone by default. Sorry.
You're fine. In case you couldn't hear me, Alan McGregor, is this definitely his last season for you? Is that why we're having this discussion?
Hang on. Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is with Alan McGregor, you know, I don't think his injury record was that extensive, you know, that's the only thing.
I don't think we're talking injuries, I think we're talking father time, Cammy. Yeah. We've debated this a lot this season. Michael Beale might well take his chair at the media conference tomorrow or Friday, whenever it is, and say, nonsense, not a chance, no way we're signing Jack Butland. I don't know, but is it starting to point to the fact that Alan McGregor will call it quits?
Yeah, I can just see, I can actually see a little bit of differences from this year to last year. I think everyone thought he was done last year after the cup final, and the way that he sort of came on and exited, everyone thought that was his last moment in his Rangers top, but then he decided, look, he's got another year left. And I just got a funny feeling. It's been a little bit, he doesn't speak a lot about it, but I just feel as if this season will be his last season, no matter what happens. And yeah, listen, Alan's not had any injuries through his career. He's been very, very lucky. So he's managed to play to an age of 41 that he's at the moment. So he's had a fantastic career. And that's why I'm saying I think it's going to be so difficult to replace him. There's not many guys that will be able to walk in and just replace him that easily.
Thank you very much to George. I'll let George sounds busy, you know, and I couldn't have it on my conscience that we keep him from whatever's going on. So thank you to George, much appreciated. Getting in touch on the phones, you can tweet as well there at Clyde SSB. What about Ronnie on the line? Ronnie, as a Rangers fan, are you excited by Jack Butland rumours or not?
For me, should be a good addition to Rangers. The last English keeper beside was Chris Wedge, and he had a brilliant time at Rangers. But the other couple of points I was wanting to say.
Well, let's deal with that first, and we'll let you back in. No dramas whatsoever. That would be a nice bar to reach if Ronnie's rhyming off names like that, Cammy. I wonder about the English market was it the initial caller, was it George, who said about, you know, wouldn't know the wages or something like that. I don't suppose Jack Butland comes cheap wages wise, but I don't know. I've no idea. But you just wouldn't imagine so. But also, if there's one area of the pitch that you're looking for a so-called safer market, is that something you would understand?
Absolutely. I think we only need to look across the city to Celtic and where they were before Joe Hart and they signed Barkas for a lot of money, spent a lot of money on his wages as well, didn't work out. And that's why I would say that they want to probably go down the route of a goalie from the UK. I think they can adjust to Scottish football much easier, and it's less of a risk. And as I say, you're looking for that model of a goalkeeper who's played at a big club, loads of experience of that high pressure situations. So he does fit in
and
the model.
He's capped as well, so he's obviously performed at a level where they've deemed him good enough to get into the England setup. So, you know, his profile there isn't bad.
Yeah,
is there a reality here, which I think everyone knows? And I don't mean to sound too critical, but if you've got an England international goalie, if he's at the peak of his powers, then we're not having this discussion. There needs to be something there.
Yeah, but he's maybe looking to get his career back on track. And again, listen, I can remember he was one of the up and coming goalkeepers. Everyone thought he was going to be the next England goalkeeper for a number of years, and it just didn't happen. It didn't materialise. He had a number of injuries, and then he went through a really sticky spell. I remember him at Stoke; he was making a lot of mistakes. And he was getting criticised a lot at that time, and he's bounced back from that. He's came, he's still at big clubs, but you're right, he's going to come at a cost. But I think Rangers are going to have to bite the bullet and are going to have to pay a bit of money for a good solid goalkeeper, because they need it. They've had one for a number of years now in Alan McGregor, and you don't want to downgrade from that, because it's such an important position.
And like every serious researcher, I went straight to Wikipedia earlier on to see if there was anything I didn't know. And this line, there you are, the Glasgow connection. It says, after Joe Hart withdrew from the squad due to a back injury, Butland was named in the starting 11 to become the youngest ever England international goalkeeper at 19 years and 158 days. So there we go. And they'll be old pals. What was your other point, Ronnie?
My other point was to Simon. Simon, are you happy with the man in the middle on Sunday? You'll be happy with that. Well, you know what I call him, wouldn't it?
What are you suggesting? What are you suggesting, Ronnie?
Well, what do you think I'm suggesting, Simon? Is as high as they can get. Plus the fact that the Sky Television treat Scottish football like garbage, giving them five live games after the split. A total disgrace.
Two very different topics. I don't know if we've got time to cover both, given that I'm already late for the break. Let's go for the referee. I must admit, these, having spent 6 years on this show, these comments,
these things amaze me
because
these things are the last thing I look for in these games.
Never met, no offence William if you're listening, I've never met anyone that says they're happy Willie Collins ref in the game. Whether that's an unfair reputation or not,
popularity,
but seriously,
seriously, it's the last thing I look at in these games. And I know there's fans there from both sides that look at things, and Ronnie obviously thinks Willie's biased towards Celtic. It's the last thing I look for, and if I'm being honest, I hope I'm not talking about it at the weekend. I hope we're talking about the best team winning.
Well said. I'm not sure that's often the... We'll put it this way. I've just clicked up on an article about Willie Collins taking charge of the game on Sunday, and lo and behold, a quick flick through the comments and both sides think this is terrible news for them and good news for the opposition. So argue amongst yourselves. 01419511025. We'll take more of your calls next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Cammy Bell and Simon Donnelly are here. So 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Let's bring in Martin, who's in Motherwell. How's it going, Martin?
Not too bad, guys. How's yourself?
Yeah, can't complain at all. What are you thinking then tonight?
Well, I am a supporter of Rangers and also Crystal Palace. I've followed them for 22 years. I've been saying for the last 2 years that Rangers should move to Jack Butland. And anybody that doesn't know enough about him, I've just got a wee opinion. I feel he's been a victim of circumstance, because he came into Palace to challenge Vincente Guaita, who is a very good number one, brilliant keeper. And when he got his chances in the Cup, he did well. Unfortunately, he got a viral infection. He came back and got another chance, done well. Got dislocated fingers. He was out for something like 3 to 4 months with dislocated fingers. Palace decided to move on and bring in another very good, accomplished England international in Sam Johnson. But I think Butland's kind of moved to Man United on loan to say, look, it's time for me to show to everybody that I'm in a short window. I want to move on because his time at Palace is limited under Gueye, and probably Sam Johnson's going to be the new number one. But without a doubt, any time he's been called upon, he is still a very, very good keeper. I think maybe like Joe Hart was when he went to Celtic. I think maybe a change of scene could do him the world of good.
Listen, I love the insight because that's the beauty of the phone-in. Martin can come on and tell us more about Crystal Palace's goalkeeping history than we knew. And I guess sometimes that happens, Cammy. It doesn't matter if it's Jack Butland or anyone. We can look at a distance and just look at number of games played. It doesn't really tell you about the circumstances.
Yeah, it's actually really good to hear that from Martin. Just explaining, obviously, the circumstances being a Palace fan, but... And it seems as if Jack Blunton's made that move, as Martin says, to put yourself in the shop window, go to another big club and show you can be involved. But listen, see, if you're at Manchester United, you're not a bad football player. So he's went there to show that he can be involved with a big football club. But I agree with Martin. I think it's one of these opportunities, if it comes about and Jack Blunton fancies it, he can kickstart his career again for me. He's only 30 years old. Listen, he has a couple of good seasons at Rangers. Then that's when all the English clubs will start looking at him again. And listen, he might end up moving back down there because ultimately that's probably what he would want to do. He'll want to go and play in the Premier League in England at some point. But I think it could be a really good move for Rangers and Jack Butland. Get him back playing football. As we've spoke about, he's got that experience at top level. But it's just going to be whether the wages would be too much for Rangers. I'm not sure.
Yeah, do you know what? I doubt we're actually going to get away from these comparisons with Joe Hart. Martin said it as well. You know, sometimes a change of scenery, and I know those two situations are ever exactly the same. But I just checked it, and I didn't think it was quite as few as this. I didn't realise that in the two seasons prior to joining Celtic, Joe Hart played 13 times across right. two seasons, yeah. and none of them were in the league. They were all yeah. European games for Spurs or cup games for Burnley. And I mean, it didn't show, did it?
No.
Celtic fans would say listen, he's been an excellent signing.
As Cammy says there, it might be the chat, and Martin touched on it as well. It might be the move that Jack Butland needs, you know, to come to a club like Rangers and kickstart his career. It's good. I said that earlier in the show. We look at the stats, Gordon, we see, right, he hasn't played a lot, but you don't know. Martin's saying every time he's played, he's performed well, but then he's picking up a virus. He's picking up a finger injury or a hand injury. You know, the guy's just maybe been unfortunate mm-hmm. in recent times and is looking for a break and looking for a new challenge.
And that said, I acknowledge, yes, Joe Hart, Cammy, has 75 England caps over 300 Man City appearances and all that. So I'm not saying it's a direct comparison, just in terms of the very short term history before arriving up here.
Yeah, totally. And I do get the circumstances because I think that listen, Joe Hart's been fantastic to Celtic. I think he's been a real key signing for them. They sorted out a real problem position for them. They went through a period with a goalkeeper who came in for a lot of money, probably didn't, I don't know if he underestimated the league or just couldn't handle the pressures of Celtic Football Club. And then they went and got a guy who, as we say, hadn't played much football but had that experience previously, knows what it's like, expectations, playing in front of big crowds, and he's performed since he's been there. So I think Rangers fans can look across the city and say, look, it has worked well with a goalkeeper who didn't play many games a couple of seasons prior to him coming in.
Martin, what sort of attributes does Jack Butland have that you would like to see at Rangers?
Well, first and foremost, I think a lot of people are going to always think about McGregor. He's going to be the forefront of everybody's mind because he's quick reaction saves. Now, Jack Butland is 6'5", but he has still got very, very good reactions. He can get down quick, and you've got Cammy there in the studio. You don't need me to tell him that a 6'5" keeper is probably going to command the area pretty well in crosses.
Yeah, I mean, peak Alan McGregor, vintage Alan McGregor, it was never considered one of his strong suits. He's obviously not as big as Jack Butland, so you wonder if that's something that would appeal.
Yeah, listen, each goalie is different. You get the guys who are maybe just over 6 foot and won't be as commanding as people will see these 6 foot five giants that come and take everything in the air. But Listen, Alan McGregor makes match-winning saves, and that's very difficult for him to replicate for any goalie that's going to come in. I think Jack Butler, every time I've seen him, he's a good goalkeeper. He's definitely a top goalkeeper. As I say, there's been periods in his career as well where he's had injuries, he's went through bad spells and been criticised heavily. So he's felt all these emotions that he might feel at Rangers at some point. So he's had that experience and been able to bounce back. And that's
we always do say, if we're going to keep being consistent here and say there is nowhere like this,
no,
in terms of intensity of spotlight, yep, and all that sort of stuff, it's almost difficult to predict how anyone takes it. So
especially a keeper,
yeah.
Especially a keeper, you make a mistake. I mean, you look at the boy Barkas that came in at Celtic, and for whatever reason, it wasn't an easy period for him coming in, but he looked as if he couldn't handle it.
Yeah, and that's why I go back to Jack Butland's period where he was getting criticised, and I still look at him and he's still at the top of the English game, albeit he's not playing, but he's still at Manchester United at this moment in time. So that shows me the resilience and character behind him as a person, that he can handle a little
probably
bit of criticism.
A mentality of that size of club as well, and he's working day in, day out with a top calibre player as well. So I think that stands him in good stead for a move like Rangers and being in around the
there will be setup. Some cynic who will tweet in a minute and say, listen, if you can't get David De Gea out of that Man United team. So we'll maybe get to that. Thank you to Martin. What about Thomas then, as a Rangers fan? Thomas, how do you feel generally about the goalkeeping situation?
Good evening, Gordon. I think that obviously I'm hoping that this is Alan McGregor's last season. He's been a terrific servant to us, but money is going to be at a premium for Rangers, and a lot of times Rangers overlook what's on their doorstep. Now, with a goalkeeper who's been in the Scotland squad and he's never been given a chance, really, and in the few occasions he has appeared for us, he's never let us down, and that's the young boy McCrory. Well, he's not young now, I think he's about 24, McCrory. So he's been in and around the first team now for quite a while. We've obviously got no chance in the league, so why are we, after the cup game, why are we not giving him a run? See what he can do for us. I mean, we might not even have to go to England, and it might save us a fair wee bit of money that we can't really afford to waste. So we should be picking and choosing. And what Rangers have done this previously, I'm looking at Alex Lowry and a couple of other young players. I know you get badly injured, but prior to that, I felt a lot of young players that we've got through this apparently brilliant academy that we're supposed to have, that we don't seem to give these boys a chance. We always seem to be looking away to get 30-year-old goalkeepers. I've heard his pedigree, obviously. But, you know, give young McCrory a chance. We might not have to spend money on a goalkeeper.
In terms of short term, Michael Beale said he would, Cammy. So I don't know when that may be, but would you expect it, certainly?
Yeah, I think it's the right thing to do as well. If Robbie's got any aspirations of being a number one, he's got to step up and be a number one somewhere at some point soon. He's 25 year old now. It's not a young kid. That's a guy who you would look at if he wasn't at an Old Firm team. If he was anywhere else out with that, the calibre that Robbie's got as a goalkeeper, has probably played 150 games by now. But because he's found himself on an Old Firm team, he's found himself on number three sort of spot the last couple of seasons. It's been difficult for him, injuries. But
I take Thomas's point about having a look, and you'll never know until you try. But seriously, if I asked you to put your last pound bet to Cash for Kids on here, could you see Robbie McCrory being Rangers number one next season?
No, because he's not played enough football consistently. And the big thing for me is, listen, he's done brilliant since he's came in. The games that he's played, he's been fantastic. And so I totally agree with Thomas there. He's done brilliant. But see, over a period of a season, when you get to, I've always said this, when you're a young goalie and you've never really had a real run at games, when you get to a 20 game mark and then you start to make a couple of mistakes, it then can be really difficult period for you. And sometimes managers need another goalkeeper there to pull you out of the spotlight. I just feel as if Rangers need an experienced goalkeeper. I'm not saying Robbie's not good enough, but I just don't think he's had the game time consistently to show that he can go and do it at Rangers.
I mean,
I think it would be a big risk.
Injuries have obviously played a part, Thomas, but Robbie McCrory has played twice since the start of last season. He played twice in August 2021 and hasn't played a single first team game since. I said, I know he has been injured, but that would be a heck of a turnaround, wouldn't it, if he could then somehow get, you know, put in enough in the next couple of games to become a Rangers number one next season.
Well, he's got six games, five, six games, other than the cup, to prove himself. And again, the manager in that has seen him about training and should know whether or not he's good enough. I mean, McGregor, he was out on loan quite a few times. But again, he just came in just after the Le Guin era and did a great job for us. And he'd been on the books like Robbie for quite some time. And again, I just think, if he's not good enough, then why at the age of 25 is he still there and we've not moved him on?
That's a very good question, I must say. That is as well. You experienced that though, Simon. Everyone always brings this up about Alan McGregor. You were on loan. You mentioned it before.
I was thinking back there. So McCrory's 25, I was at Dunfermline from 04 to 06. So if I'm doing my maths, Griggs would have been early 20s and he came in there and played and did really well, and he's probably the best keeper I've worked with looking back over my career. So Thomas makes good points. The lad needs to play. Yes, he's round about the place and people are watching him all the time and training. Is 5 or 6 games at the end of the season enough to prove you're number one for Rangers? I'm not sure.
Thank you, Thomas. 01419511025. Right, Celtic fans, what are you thinking ahead of the weekend? We're going to hear from Jackie McNamara. He's given us some thoughts ahead of the big one at Hampden on Sunday. You'll be patiently waiting, I'm sure, for more injury updates from the manager. What the players that have been out in recent weeks, who are the must returns? Are there any that you think really can swing the game one way or the other? Let us know your early thoughts about team selection and your general feelings ahead of it. All the usual stuff as we build up to the big game. Get your calls in just now and we'll try and get you on next.
141-951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Cammy Bell are here. It's 01419511025 if you'd like to get in touch, and we would like you to get in touch. So come on down and let the guys know what you're thinking tonight, whether it is build up to the weekend games, whether it's some of the news headlines that are doing the rounds, or something else entirely. I know you lot can be quite creative out there. Maybe there's a bit of leftover from last night. We had the good old discussion about post-split fixtures and Stuart Robertson leaving his role at Rangers. So if there's anything left over on those, you know the number. Let's hear from Jackie McNamara. Thinks it may be worrying for Rangers that they've played well at times in the last game against Celtic and still lost. He also thinks Sunday's a big opportunity for Ange Postecoglou to get one back after last season's semi-final.
His approach will be the same. You know, he'll want to win it. You know, the chance to put last year away from that, you know, and the way the game went last year. So that's, I'm sure that's what he'll be saying to the players. You know, they're not to be complacent. Rangers are a dangerous side, and you know, Michael Beale has a different mentality from where they were at the start of the season. So it will be a difficult game for them, but I'm sure that Ange will have them ready and his favourites. I actually think Rangers played okay in the day. Celtic didn't play particularly well, which, you know, you could say is a worry that they didn't manage to beat them. But you know, their games, the form sort of goes out the window. That's the old saying, but it's true. You know, it's a derby, and both teams are desperate to win it. We're not Rangers change a few things, you know, in terms of system. The bad result last weekend, although I didn't think they played that well. That badly in the first half. I thought they were good in possession without, you know, taking their opportunities. So they need to be obviously a lot better on Sunday.
These games are the best example you will find anywhere of being able to spin things in the completely the opposite direction, depending on how you see it. Because I don't think many would argue with that logic that your old pal has displayed there, Simon. If Rangers are playing better and, you know, doing bits within games and still can't beat Celtic when they're not at their best, that's a worry. But on the flip side, naturally you would still rather play better, and maybe that is a sign that you're somewhat getting closer or whatever. So that would be very much dependent on which team you support, I suspect.
Yeah, but I was speaking to somebody earlier on today about this. I went through this in the 90s with the Rangers team that we performed, and we were getting better, and ultimately couldn't get a result. And the longer it goes, it definitely plays in your mind, Gordon. I mean, we started games and then they would score and you'd be like, here we go again. And I've watched the Celtic games recently, and I would say you would have to give Celtic credit, you know, to go and capitalise on those mistakes and maybe force the issue. You see how Celtic press high and quick, and, you know, Kyogo and Jota for John Souter's mistake, they pounce on it. You've got to give them credit there. But I'm with Jackie. I don't think Celtic, I've seen them play better and they still win. So until Rangers can turn this round, they got the draw at Ibrox. Obviously Kyogo got a crucial goal towards the end of that game to get a point and keep the gap at 9 points. Until they can turn it round. Even the final recently, I thought Celtic, I know it was only 2-1, but it looked comfortable for Celtic, as much as a final can be. So until Rangers get a result, you know, it's going to be really difficult. And you know, that's a challenge for them.
Yeah, I agree. I think one of the big words that Sid said there was result. Rangers need a result. I think, listen, see, getting performing better, yes, it's a positive, but it's not where Rangers want to be. Rangers need to beat Celtic. That's the be-all and end-all. That's what the fans demand and expect, is Rangers putting that performance in that wins the game of football, because that's all that matters at the end of the day for a Rangers fan and player and as a club, is winning games of football. And until they do that, it's not going to be good enough. So they need, I just think there's a huge amount of pressure on Rangers at the weekend, because it is all they've got to play for this season. And if they were to lose the game, I think just the pressure then starts to mount for next season and how they start next season.
And the references to last season's semi-final, I'm fascinated by, because it clearly has absolutely no bearing on what happens this time, obviously. And the sides have met 5 times since then, 2 draws, 3 victories for Celtic. But at the very least, it is still a reminder that it can happen, whatever that means, you know.
Definitely can happen. I get back again to, there was times you would go into the game underdog and come away with a result. It definitely can happen. That's where Celtic,
because you remember that, when you Celtic were they were flying at that point last season. Rangers were going to extra time, and everybody was saying that, you know, domestically they weren't even,
and Celtic scored first,
very good anyway. Yeah, so like I say, I don't, that doesn't impact what happens this week. It's just a timely reminder, I suppose. Cammy, I've had my issues in the past with this phrase about form going out the window, but that's that sort of last season's semi-final would be a good example of that type of thing.
Yeah,
listen, stay away from it.
No, I agree. Listen, form does, for me, plays a little bit of a part.
Have you seen the guy on Twitter that puts up these
football
phrases?
Cliches is brilliant. You see the one, was it today or yesterday?
What was it?
But we scored too early.
I haven't seen
and
that
it's
one
just
yet.
It's a compilation
and
of
everybody's
like,
saying it.
Of all
and the
these
more
people
they say it, the more ridiculous it
is. I think we scored too early. I think, and then it becomes like this self-fulfilling thing where when people say it, they go, you know, as if they're joking, but they're not, because they've said it. Anyway, carry on.
That's funny. Yeah, no. So listen, I don't think the gap is massive. So there's an absolute chance of Rangers winning this game on Sunday. They need to perform at their best. They need to cut out all the mistakes that are costing them goals, because Sid again is bang on that Celtic press them high and create them opportunities by doing that, pressing them high and capitalising on any mistake that Rangers make, getting the ball in the back of the net. So they need to be at their best to get a result. But as I said before, the result is all that matters for Rangers fans and the football club. Until that result happens against a very good Celtic team at the moment, it's not going to be good enough for the club or the fans.
I think the latest up, and by the way, he always keeps his cards quite close to his chest anyway, so I don't know how much we'll know going into the weekend. But Ange Postecoglou, I think, said yesterday, didn't he, that Abada, Hatate, Jota were back in training.
Yeah.
So that doesn't mean they're going to play, obviously, but I don't know. Are you encouraged by that, or do you just?
I think you would be encouraged that they're back in training. My concern is Hatate. He got injured in the Hibs game, which was a few weeks ago. You're just worried, would he come back in and still be at that level of fitness again? Jota hasn't been out as long. But you look at these three players and how they've performed in this particular fixture over the 2 years. You know, they've been big players. So I even think if two out of the three are round about the squad, even if they're on the bench, I think it's a bonus.
Yes, Simon said there, you look at Abada, has got a double against Rangers this season. Jota has scored 2 in separate games. Hatate was probably the best player on the pitch in the cup game and burst onto the scene in this fixture with his double last season. So I'm sure Celtic fans will be fingers crossed to make it, and Rangers fans the exact opposite, I'm sure.
Yeah, listen, Rangers fans would have wanted to hear Ange say that none of them are available for Sunday, because as Sid says, that them being about the squad, it just gives that squad a little boost, and whether they're 100% fit, then they're still able to play a part in the game. And we've seen how good Celtic's subs have been this season and the impact that they make when they come on if the game isn't going their way. Their squad's so strong. I think I've said it before, that's the difference between Rangers and Celtic at the moment. Rangers' squad, I don't think, has the impact from the subs that Michael Beale can make, and that's something he needs to work on in the summer, is bring a number of players in that he's got a full squad that he can then make impact subs, and they come on and do the exact same job as a player that's leaving the pitch. And Celtic do that at the moment. They're very good with that.
Now let's ask Ken, who's on the line at the moment. Ken, of those three, is it that everybody just keeps suggesting that Hatate is the one they really want to see back? Do you share that, or have you got a different view on it?
No, I mean, I'd love to see Hatate and Jota back. I'd love to see the both of them back. If I could only have one, I'd take Hatate back, because the vision he's got, the pace he's got, you know, he has just been outstanding since he started. And if he were to get player of the year, he'd be well deserved.
Do you think, say he is so-called fit, Ken, do you think the length of time he's been out, would that come into it at all, or would you pitch him into a game of this size?
Actually, it depends who he is in training, but if I see he starts, and I wouldn't question it at all. You know, it's personally, I would put him straight in, but then I'm not seeing him in training, so
it's a difficult one because we're on the outside, Simon. You know, people say that, you know, nobody takes risks, and they only play if they are fully fit, but. I wonder if it's just sometimes to properly identify. Completely different player, but just, you know, we heard John Souter, in fact, a couple of weeks ago, didn't we, saying that, you know, he declared himself fit for that game against Livingston, and he thought he was fit, and Rangers thought he was fit, and actually his ankle was broken. Essentially, I'm not saying that's
I think with these Japanese players, I think the levels of fitness are taken to a different level.
I think they're so in tune with what they've got going on.
I think they are. I mean, I watched the games after games. Hatate and Maeda are out doing a cool down straight away. You know, I just think they're so, so professional, the way they go about their whole work ethic, and I think that'll work for them coming back from injury. But I'm with Ken. I think Annie sees them day in, day out, and if he is performing in training, I wouldn't be surprised that he comes straight back in.
Again, everybody's different, and I'm asking you to guess here, but having played and coached, I mean, is that, that sound perfectly doable? So
a hamstring, I said one a minute ago, for me it is a wee bit of a concern. I'm just trying to give you the other side of it. I think the Japanese players, certainly when I've watched them, you know, their fitness levels, I know Hatate kind of ventured off a wee bit last year. I think he played the Japanese league, and you could see it coming towards the end, but he's not had that this year, and I just think the guy's getting better and better. It's the one big kind of disappointment, him picking that injury up, because at that time his form was sensational.
What else is on your mind tonight, Ken?
Well, it was about the fixtures after the fixtures we got coming up. I'm tongue-tied here, sorry about that.
Well, don't you worry, carry on.
I was surprised that the game at Ibrox is going to be the second game of the split for us. I thought it would be the third or the fourth. I mean, we're playing Hearts, and they're in good form, and they're going to be at home. There's a good chance we can drop a couple of points there, you know. And as we said against Rangers Aberdeen, you've got to fancy Rangers for that match at home with a full house. So we could drop points, and then that makes the game on the 13th of May a title decider, which the split was supposed to avoid. If they made it the 3rd or the 4th, they're probably going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, the split's not supposed to avoid it, but you're right, there's always this theory that, like, police try and avoid it, and the SPFL try and avoid it, and it could well happen. Simon, there's so much said about these fixtures. We're going to need to wait and see. Hearts, Ken says they're in good form. They were at the weekend.
Yeah, but before
prior
that,
to that, I mean, you would
Celtic
still,
went there recently, and
you'd still fancy Celtic to win this time, wouldn't you?
Yeah, they destroyed them. But I just think sometimes, I heard other fans saying about, you know, wanting to try and win the title at Celtic Park, and for me, it is what it is. You have to go and win all these games to get yourself in this position. Celtic have did that. They've showed the levels of consistency. They dropped their levels last weekend. I think Ange wasn't happy with it. He came out and said that. I think there'll be a reaction this week, because that's unusual. Your team coming and getting a point. It's unusual feeling for Celtic players walking around that pitch. They're so used to winning at home, and their levels have been so high. So for me, it is what it is. You go through to Tynecastle and win the league there.
Thank you very much to Ken. That takes us up to this already.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Huge news on the Beat the Pundit front. You know, we had a bad week for the pundits. Last week it was a 4-1 victory for the listeners. We've officially had to buy a new box of footballs to be signed. We've given away too many this season. I think Gordon Dale got back on the saddle last night, though he's been in terrible form. But he won 5-3 last night. So let's see how we go tonight. Simon Donnelly and Cammy Bell are here. It's 01419511025.
I was listening in the two. Oh, brother, and then the cousin.
The Paisley eggheads that keep phoning in and winning.
I forgot to say to you earlier.
We're now not taking calls from people
Paisley
from
at
Paisley.
All.
Paisley numbers are barred. Anyway, give us your entries before 7 and we'll try and get you on next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Cammy Bell are here. 01419511025. We'd love for you to join us, so please do if you want to elaborate on anything that's been said already. We've been talking Jack Butland rumours to Rangers. Is that one you would go for? Rangers fans, Celtic fans, just prior to the news there, we were talking a bit about the weekend. We heard from Jackie McNamara talking about good omens, if you like, for Celtic. We're speculating at this stage in the week about the injury list and will Hatate or Abada or the likes return. So if you've anything to add on those topics, please do. And if you want to move on to something else, now would be the perfect time. 01419511025.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Tell you what, it's been back and forwards. We had a nightmare for the pundits last week. 4-1 to the listeners. It would have been a clean sweep if it wasn't for the experienced head of Hugh Keevans, who won it on the Friday. And then Gordon Dalziel even managed to win last night. So it's all to play for with Mark and Carmyle. How's it going, Mark?
Not bad, Gordon. How you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you. And you've got some backup there with you, Mark. Who's alongside you?
No, it's just my son. He's not, he doesn't really say very much. It's okay. He might get a few kind of spiels, but he's not going to. He's football.
That's fine.
He's not there. Yeah, he'll get there.
How old is he, Mark? What's his name?
His name is Curtis, and he's 5.
Curtis, it's brilliant to have you. Thanks for listening, Curtis. And don't let your you. I bet you'll be telling your dad all the right answers. So let's toss the coin. If it's heads, it will be Simon Donnelly against Mark and Curtis. I'm giving Curtis his place here. And if it's tails, it will be Cammy Bell. So let's see how we go on here. And it is heads. It's a Celtic derby, if you like, because Mark is a Celtic fan, taking on Simon. So what we'll do here is give Simon some greatest hits radio to listen to, and as always, I turn it up nice and loud, Mark, so that he can't hear your answers. 30 seconds, answer as many as you can, and pass if you don't know. That's my advice, okay?
Okay.
Right, let's get stuck in with your 30 seconds, which starts right now. Which player joined QPR from Rangers in 2019?
Pass.
In what year did Celtic complete their domestic treble unbeaten?
Sorry?
Pass. In what year did Celtic complete their domestic treble unbeaten?
2017.
Name any player that scored a league goal for Motherwell apart from Kevin Van Veen.
Pass.
Who's earned more Scotland caps, Craig Gordon or David Marshall?
Craig Gordon.
Name any English side Stephen Naismith played with between Rangers and Hearts. Can you still hear us, Mark? Oh no, he's gone. Mark disappeared.
Oh no.
He's on his last question.
Was he on a roll?
I'm going to just ask him the question again. I trust Mark. I think he sounds like an honest guy. I don't think he
giving
would
him the question
use
again.
The time. I'll just give him that again. Mark, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can. Sorry,
right, very quickly, name any. Hold on. I'll get rid of Simon again. Name any English side Stephen Naismith played with between Rangers and Hearts.
Everton.
There we go. I trust him. You happy with that, Cammy? You trust him?
That's good.
Nah, I trust him. I don't care what you cynics out there say. Simon, ready?
Yeah,
right,
let's go.
Same set of questions. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now.
Beat the Pundit.
Wrong button. There we go. Which player joined QPR from Rangers in 2019?
Pass.
In what year did Celtic complete their domestic treble unbeaten?
2019.
Name any player who scored a league goal for Motherwell apart from Van Veen this season.
Blank pass.
Who's earned more Scotland caps, Craig Gordon or David Marshall?
Craig Gordon.
Name any English side Stephen Naismith played for between Rangers and Hearts.
Everton.
How many league titles has Scott Bain won with Celtic?
Three.
Mark Curtis, how do you think it went?
I don't know. It could be a draw.
Simon's the master of the low scoring game. So let's see how it goes tonight. Which player joined QPR from Rangers in 2019?
Dominic Ball.
Lee Wallace. So QPR from Rangers. Celtic completed their domestic unbeaten treble in 2017. Well done, Mark. You got that right. You're 1-0 up. Now, this probably shows you the impact
that Van Veen's
had, because none of you could name me one other score.
I would have went Spittle.
Blair Spittle.
Blair Spittle.
There's a few, to be, believe it or not. I'm not going to name them all, but like Callum Slattery, yeah. Sean Goss,
Ben Fries.
But seriously, the percentage of Motherwell's goals that he's got is incredible.
So what's the score? Still 1-0.
Still 1-0.
Horrible.
Craig Gordon has 74, David Marshall 46. So it's Craig Gordon and you both got it. So it's 2-1 to Mark. Stephen Naismith played for Norwich and Everton. You both got it. Which means it all comes down to the last one, because Mark didn't get that far. How many league titles has Scott Bain won? What did you say?
Three.
It's four. I'm lying, Simon. Well done to Mark in Kamile. Well done, Mark.
And Curtis.
Nice one. Thank you.
Well done, Mark. Well done, Curtis.
What, Gordon?
Yeah.
Gordon, I'm actually, this is like two balls I'm going to be arriving. Because I won the last time I was on. It was the last game.
If you've been on before?
Yeah, against Stevens.
Oh, that doesn't say much, beating him. And you've still not got your sign ball.
So I'll have two balls in the mantelpiece.
That sums it up, honestly. When was this? This must have been a while ago.
It was last game of the year. I think it was against Hugh Keevans. It was the last Super Score.
See, producer Chris is trying to throw previous producers under the bus for Mark not having received his signed ball yet. But anyway, thank you very much to Mark in Carmyle. I'm going to get pelters on this because you wouldn't have heard it, obviously. Well, you did hear. I gave Mark the last question. I just trusted him.
Scott Bain?
No, it was the Naismith one.
Uh-huh.
I trusted him.
What did he go, Everton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously.
What was the ones I should have got there? Motherwell should have got. What did I say for the treble? What was the question with the treble?
When did they complete the unbeaten treble?
Unbeaten treble.
Yeah. Right. You said 2019.
Yeah, a nightmare.
I think the Motherwell one. Your other sparring partner on a Wednesday, Big Martin, as he's known on here, Marvin Bartley, has messaged, ha 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 ha, having a stinker, so he hung up. See, he's the cynic. He thinks Mark ditched us so that he could look at. Nah, I trusted Mark. No doubt about it. No doubt whatsoever. The Motherwell ones let you down.
Yeah.
I mean, did you work with Blair Spittle?
I did work with Blair Spittle, and that's why when Cammy said it, I thought, I should have known that.
Yeah. I mean, yep. Max Johnson, Sean Goss, but anyway. I won't dwell on it too long. 01419511025. That's the number if you A, want to play B, the pundit tomorrow night, or B, even sooner, give us your thoughts on the phones tonight. Let's hear a bit more from Jackie McNamara. We heard from him in the first part of the show, and he thinks Kyogo just keeps getting better and better. However, and it's the time for big debates at this time of year, he thinks Cameron Carter-Vickers could be Celtic's player of the year.
I thought he hit the ground running when he first came to the club, but I think he's got better and better. I think his movement, he has a sort of double movement, which as a defender it's very difficult to mark, even though he's not big or physical, but he's sharp and he's a good eye for goal, and he gets into some terrific areas. Carter Vickers has been the main one for me. I think he's been, you know, the player of the year, or at least between him, Kyogo, and maybe Jota and stuff, but I think he's solid and anybody running about him, he's not scared to go 1v1 or leave himself, you know, a bit exposed at the back. He's strong and he reads the game well, but he can play as well. Yeah, I think he's been a terrific signing.
That's Defenders Union. Get your old pal on the phone. Carter Vickers is very good, but he's not going to pip Kyogo, is he?
Carter Vickers has been excellent, but yeah, I was thinking that Eddie's Defenders hat on there. But for me, I said to you last week, Kyogo scores the goals, electric. He's right with his movement there. He's a nightmare for defenders, and he scores in big games. And there's another one round the corner, and I wouldn't be surprised if he goes and scores.
We had our very scientific poll here last week, Cammy, about who player of the year was going to be. We left it open to the listeners, and Kyogo was the winner. I think the the reason we did it last week is because we knew it was getting to that time. I believe the Premiership players are voting this week.
Okay.
And of course the actual PFA do is a couple of weeks round the corner. I think maybe two and a half weeks time. So we won't dwell on it too long, having had the debate. But what was your tuppence worth?
Yeah, listen, it's hard to see away from Kyogo. I think the number of goals that he's scored this season, and obviously the trophies that Celtic have won so far as well. So it's hard to see away from him. One player that I've been so impressed with this season is Van Veen. I think his goals have been unbelievable. I knew you'd like that one. But I don't think he's going to get it. I think it will be Kyogo that will get the award. But
he'll get nominated, though, I think. Yeah.
I think so.
I think it'll be that kind of...
He's been unbelievable.
Outside one that
his goal of the weekend, you can talk about Greg Taylor turning his back, but it's a great finish. Mm-hmm. He had another run as well at one point from the other wing, came in and tried
to shoot. Just after, wasn't it?
He's just playing at the top of his form, and he's
such a good player, all round player. I think
you could say you know there's probably a reason Greg Taylor got himself, and you know what I mean. Not every player's going to be able to make Greg Taylor panic in that way. I suppose would be a way of looking at it.
But as soon as he turns his back, Van Veen sniffs out that opportunity, knows that he's got the split second to get away, create a little bit of space, and finishes it.
What he does do is he takes advantage of the situation. Yes. He finishes it off, albeit it's great.
Still not an easy finish.
It's easy saying, we can get Greg Taylor turned inside out, but he's took advantage of it and finished it, and an important goal for Motherwell.
Anyway, that was your old pal, Jackie McNamara, speaking today at.
Yes, he was
What's the big news?
We are opening a bar tomorrow, Don Max, in the town. So
see what you've done there, Don Max. Yeah, I'm on to you too.
He did the interview from our bar this afternoon. So
opens tomorrow.
Opens tomorrow at 5 o'clock. We've got lots of stuff, DJ, live music at the weekend.
Talk to me in existing landmarks, because Socky Hill Street's long.
You know the garage.
Absolutely, good start.
Two doors beside it.
Right, okay.
The Beresford building.
Oh yeah,
lovely,
I like that one.
Lovely building. Mm-hmm. Got a bit of history behind it as well. I think JFK spoke there when he visited Glasgow many years ago.
Oh, look at the sales pitch.
Lovely.
That's magnificent. I didn't know that.
Yeah, exciting times.
Because you've been speaking to me about this for weeks, and you've not dropped that JFK stat
yet. I kept it up my sleeve. Yeah,
special occasion.
And I know you're a big music buff. Every time I click on your Instagram, is that the plan? Going to get a bit of live music?
Yeah, well,
it's
going to be sport, obviously football and live music. That's what we like, and hopefully we can create an environment where people want to come and
there
enjoy
we
themselves.
Are. There we are. Get
can't wait
along.
To go for a wee pint there.
We meet and greet Simon Donnelly.
Good pint of Guinness. Oh, with a soft opening last week. Lovely Guinness.
Yeah, good on you. Right, okay. You'll have Hugh Keevans, Gordon DL, Mark Wilson, nothing lining up. Cammy Bell will be there anyway. Right, let's go back to the phones. Laurie is in Sandy Hill. How's it going, Laurie?
How you doing, lads?
Not bad. What's your point tonight?
Okay, so I'm on about Celtic. It's my usual call about them. It's Ange Postecoglou's strategy for going into Champions League next year. Okay, so I listen to the show every night almost, and I hear regular pundits saying on the show that, you know, Ange only knows one way to play, and that's how he goes about his game. It's not about how the other team play. And we saw that against Real Madrid at Parkhead. They tried to take that game to the Real, and they almost did well. If they'd scored the couple of chances they had, they might have done something. Now, what I'm thinking about is Ange's strategy for this year to think, well, this team now have been together another 12 months longer, so they know each other better. They have collectively got the experience of the Champions League together, which they never had last year. Will that put them in a better place? Or does he need to think about beefing up the squad for Champions League? And also, does, in that sense, the players he bring in reflect that he needs to address his back door more? And if so, what do you think he'll do that?
Ooh, bit of forward planning from Laurie. What do you think, Simon?
Well, I think he's always forward planned since he walked in the door at Celtic. I think he's always been a transfer window ahead. I think to answer Laurie's question, obviously he'll be looking to strengthen. I think the centre-back pairing is a lot stronger now than it was last season, purely because they've been together for a season. He touches on that himself, Laurie, in terms of the team growing together, Hatate improving, Kyogo improving. People, I think, now seeing Kyogo's movement more, but that comes with playing with each other, working with each other day to day. But I still think you'll be looking to try and improve it. Can you improve it? I think you maybe asked me the question, can you keep improving? That's the question. And that's
the challenge.
That's the challenge. But, you know, this team are certainly growing together moving forward. They've brought a right back in to replace Juranovic, which arguably might be a better right back. Greg Taylor's had a great season, but I still think they'll look for other players to go and challenge these guys that have the position just now.
Like, I mean, Laurie asks about the back door. That doesn't necessarily mean defenders. It, you know, could be that there's an extra layer of that defensive midfield, and is that Iwata who's already there, or is it someone else? But again, if it is the defence, again, Kobayashi's there. Is this a project for the future? Can you definitely up? I don't think many Celtic fans would call here and say they can upgrade Cameron Carter-Vickers. Could you maybe upgrade Starfelt? I mean, what's the area then? If you are always trying to improve, you need to find one then. What?
Yeah, so you need to find somebody that's better than what you've got at the moment, and I think that's what Ange will be doing. I don't think Celtic will stand still. I don't think that's his style. He's always thinking ahead to the next transfer window. He's always looking to improve his squad, and he knows when if Celtic stands still, that's when they get caught up, and they'll eventually other teams will get closer to them. So he'll want to make signings. Starfelt, I feel, I think he's a good player, but he's probably one of the weakest in the defence area that they might try and upgrade or bring somebody in who can challenge him. But as I touched on it before, I think Celtic's squad at the moment is so strong, and that's what he'll want to create, is this squad of players that he can rely on week in, week out.
What's your own feeling, Laurie, in the city? That the point that you made at the start's an important one, I think, because we always obsess about who is signed in the summer, as if that is how you improve from one season to the next, when actually, what if the team that you've already got is just better the next season? And what if Celtic can be better for their experiences in this season's Champions League? Is that something you think could happen?
I think it's a combination, isn't it? The guys who have been through it now, you know, take the bunch of guys from Japan. They had never seen Champions League before, and probably, I mean, I'm sure as professionals have watched it, but I think it's quite different from feeling it and being in it, and then being in it up against the last year's champions, you know. So there's no doubt that with that experience, they'll be coming at it differently. But they still have to ask themselves, how do we beat a team like Real Madrid? You know, if you look at what Real Madrid did to Liverpool at Liverpool, we actually did really well, you know. And I think, yeah, so all that experience and knowing how well they did and comparing themselves to Liverpool and how they did, they know they did great. But there's still that bit of fragility about Celtic's back door at that level. And there often has been in the Champions League with different managers. You know, we can look back to when Brendan Rodgers got a doing with Barcelona. You know, we're always, as a club, we're always really good at going forward. And our weakness has often been in defence.
I'm always a bit reluctant to and I get why fans do it, but you say, well, look at what they did to that team, and that shows the challenge, because for every one of them, there's a Shakhtar who lost 7-1 to Feyenoord this season, which would be remarkable. And I know they had lost some players in the period in between, but it can be a difficult comparison. What I've noticed generally about Laurie's calls just reminded me, Cammy, this time last year, we were all obsessed because it was new, and we were saying we've got automatic entry to the group stages, and we kept talking about all the permutations and how it might actually be taken away if a team from a certain country wins the Champions League. And then of course Rangers went in anyway, having got to the Europa League final, winning a qualifier. A year on, that's all gone very quiet. It's just becoming, Celtic will know they've got their forward plan and they've got a big enough gap at the top. It's group stage football again. No qualifiers if you win the league. It's such a good position to be in, isn't it?
Yeah, they're in an amazing position, and exactly where Ange would have wanted them to be. And I think you're right. You make some good points, Gordon, that Celtic will grow from their experiences. I think the squad being together as well, I think they'll get better as a team next year, and maybe just add one or two into the squad that can challenge for places and make them stronger. But for me, the difference last year, I felt as if they performed really well against Real Madrid at Celtic Park. It was just taking them chances, being ruthless at the top of the pitch. And that's it's fine margins at Champions League football. You need to score when you're on top. If you don't, you will get hurt. And that's the difference.
I think Celtic were guilty in a few of those early Champions League games, missing chances, which is unlike them. Listen, they could have taken one or two of those chances against Madrid, and Madrid could still have did what they did in the last half hour, because they've got world-class footballers. But if there's a way to lose a game, I'd much rather have a team going out and trying
absolutely,
to
yeah.
impose themselves on the opposition than sitting in trying to get a point absolutely. Out of the game.
Mm. Yep. Hope that wasn't a dig at Motherwell at the weekend. But anyway, thank you very much to Laurie in Sandy Hill. Good time to call. We'll get you on next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Cammy Bell are here. It's 0141 951 1025. And it is Twitter as well, at Clyde SSB, if you want to get in touch. So please do. Lots going on tonight. Get in touch with the guys and let them know what is on your mind. We've got a full time teaser for you tonight. I quite like it. You'll like it in the sense that it's only six answers.
Alright, great.
That doesn't mean they're easy, you know. So these are the things you have to you have to consider. And Jerry describes it himself, in fact, as a difficult but gettable Old Firm question. Can you name six players who've scored in an Old Firm game since the year 2000, and their first and surnames begin with the same letter?
Ooh.
Right.
Ooh.
So there are six players, apparently, who have scored in an Old Firm game since the start of the year 2000, and their first and surnames begin with the same letter.
Scott Sinclair.
Scott Sinclair. Well done. Cammy, I'll take one guess, or do you want a bit of time?
I'll need it. You know me. Go on.
Yeah. Slow burner.
Yeah.
Right, okay. That's fine. And look at that. You're a sixth of the way there. That's the beauty of having a short list. So there we go. I was going to go for a clue already, but I won't. We'll just. We'll wait on that front. And by the way, that's thanks again to Jerry for sending it in. The beauty of the full time teaser is you come up with the questions, you send them in on the email fulltime@clyde1.com, and then the pundits try and come up with the answer. So thanks to Jerry for sending that in. Get your thinking caps on. If you want to send one, we would be delighted to have it. It's not often, you know, we'll talk about English games or whatever on this show, just if we can put a particular spin on it. But they don't come much bigger than this one tonight, do they?
Oof.
Man City Arsenal. And I really wanted to be able to give it the big Scottish connection. But Tierney, I thought he might have, you know, but he's on the bench.
Is he? It will be war in the Donnelly household, though. There's two gunners in a Man City.
How did that happen? Just different eras.
Different eras, yep. And they will be fighting tooth and nail with each other on the couch.
Ooh.
But it should be a good game.
Cracker.
But that was the one I was looking for, because it becomes less relevant to us. Because there's been a lot of talk, hasn't there?
Tierney starts on the bench, does he?
You know, there's been a lot of talk, there's been a lot of suggestion, because the people were loving Zinchenko for a while, but looking at his defensive capabilities, maybe this one was for Tierney.
Thinking he's to move on. He's too good to be sitting on the bench.
100%. I totally agree with that. I think he's got to be playing football because he's too good.
Not going to struggle for options, is he, though?
Well, Newcastle, he was linked with Newcastle. That'd which is great move. Closer to home, massive club, and they look as if they're going to get in the Champions League.
And if you keep turning up at international duty and doing to Spain what he did, then that won't do you.
That's what I said when I seen that. He's too good to be sitting on the bench.
Won't do you any harm. But anyway, big game. Big game, must say. We've got big ones of our own, of course, across the weekend, so we'll build up to them. Falkirk have been doing some of their media stuff ahead. It'd be lovely to hear from you Falkirk and Inverness fans. I'm going to say this every night for the rest of the week, because I can sense it. You must be frustrated. Not only is everyone focusing on the game at the weekend, they're all almost writing you off as if this is the final. I always like to try and stick up for so-called wee teams everywhere. So if you want to give us a call or a tweet, please do. I'd be absolutely delighted to get you on. In the meantime, let's bring in Paul, who is on the line. What's your point tonight, Paul?
Hi, Gordon. And hi, guys. Thanks for having me on the going in tonight. I just a couple of points. I've got a wee point about Jack Butland and my thoughts on that. But the main point I had was about the SPFL fixture list. I know there's obviously been a few. No, it's not. Everybody's happy about it, and I suppose with a situation like this, it doesn't always please people. My main point is, my own club has went through structural changes with director, managing director, all that type of stuff, and I think, to be honest, the SPFL may have to follow suit in some way, shape or form, because I find it quite embarrassing. I think, to be honest, I find that, you know, as a Scottish football fan as well, I think we're underselling a product. I mean, you've got an Edinburgh derby coming up that's not going to be on TV. You've got St Mirren qualifying for the first time in the top six since 1985, not getting one televised game. Throughout the season, we've had Rangers against Hearts, which was a powder keg match at one point, and that wasn't televised. And I get there's quotas and all that type of stuff, but it just felt, and I said this way back, the TV deal was signed without any, in my opinion, I'm no privy to it, but it just felt like it from an outsider looking in, that there was no, no, it didn't go out to tender the process, for instance. So if you get some work done in your house, you don't just go with the first person that's there. I just feel that Neil Doncaster and the SPFL board just went out and said, we don't want to take a risk. We've had our plans burnt with the SPFL TV idea many years ago, so we'll just take what Sky's given us. And you know, there was a classic example, Rangers and Aberdeen, 4:30 kickoff on a Sunday. The only reason Sky put us on there was because FA Cup was on terrestrial TV and Sky never had any English games to show.
That feels like a strange one though, because even if that's the reason, that's like the prime time Sunday slot. We shouldn't complain about how we got it, should we? The rest of your points, by the way, I think the nation will be nodding their head at a lot of them. But you've got, you know, I'm going to take the so-called Super Sunday slot. If that comes along, we'll take that, surely, no?
It was just a point in the sense that I just feel that we find ourselves second-class citizens. Yeah. I know we're not going.
Oh, listen, there's no doubt, and I think a lot of fans will feel that way. I mean, Cammy, Paul hits on a, just to show how sort of tangled up a lot of this is, because Paul's saying, you know, I want, you know, different management at SPFL level and Neil Doncaster, whatever, because these will be the guys that sign the deal. Yep. So that bit's true. Yep. But then Paul says, you know, I mean, I know there's quotas and stuff, but the clubs, for whatever reason, they're the ones that vote for that. And that bit always does sort of surprise me, because as an example, Paul's bemoaning the fact that Hearts, there's an Edinburgh derby not going to be in TV, and the Hearts Aberdeen game won't be in TV. We've got ourselves in this situation. So the fixtures, for whatever reason, have been drawn. Hearts, Celtic can win the league. That's going to have to be in telly then, isn't it? It's going to have to be, because Celtic can win the league. And then once you've done that, you've been to Tynecastle 4 times, and apparently you can't go back. You can't go again. Yeah. And the clubs are okay with that. Not, in fact, they're more than okay with it. They dictate that. So it's not ideal, is it?
No, it's not ideal. And this is what happens when it comes to this stage of the season. You're right that they need to take that game at Tynecastle, because Celtic potentially win the league there. Of course, the TV company wants to see that. It brings in a bigger audience, and it's a great product for them to show. But yeah, I totally agree with Paul. I think we do undersell our game. There needs to be a balance between, I want to see as much football on the telly as I can, but also we want to encourage fans into the stadium as well. So there needs to be that balance that we get it right. But I definitely agree that we undersell the product that we have, because we have some huge football games in Scotland. I think the game has grown over the last few years. The interest with regards to different types of managers coming in. Obviously, we've had Steven Gerrard, high profile from down south recently. You've had Brendan Rodgers recently as well. So we've had them guys come from England and work up here and be successful. I really do think we've got a great product on the pitch. And I agree a little bit with Paul. It's the guys at the top, but also the clubs. We need to demand more for what we're actually selling.
Yeah, because I know there's a lot of frustration, understandably so, that no bottom six games are going to be shown as well, which
but
is
we
obviously
agree
heating
to that,
up.
So you're right.
Not all of it. I think that's just part of the complication.
It's part of the contract.
Yeah, but
as
no, I think there was still an option there. For instance, I don't think there's been 4 Rugby Park games as an example. But it was just trying to, I haven't got a list of them all, but it was just trying to underline how, on some occasions, like once this, because this is a title decider, which by the way then opens up other questions. You know, why were they scheduled in this way? Why was it not Celtic v St Mirren first up at Celtic Park? Stick that in the TV. Yeah. But once you've gone to Tynecastle this time, apparently you can't again. And it would be interesting to know, because a lot of it is done behind closed doors. For all we know, broadcasters went to clubs and said, listen, can we come a fifth time? And a club might have said no. That's the thing that...
Surely a club wouldn't say no, because again, you want to sell your product. I think, especially if it's an Edinburgh derby, for me, they're going to sell
the Aberdeen game, or the Aberdeen game. That could apply to anyone.
These are huge games. They're going to sell out their stadiums for me. If the fans will want to be there and see it, but we should be trying to sell our product as much as possible.
Yeah, you'd like to think that wasn't the case. Paul, what are you thinking in terms of the way it falls for you then? As a Rangers fan, everybody knows the way it's been viewed in Glasgow, because Celtic can either win it this week and then go to Ibrox as champions, or they win it there in front of no away fans. How do you see it playing out?
I hear that, like, if Celtic win at Tynecastle, but who's to say Rangers don't win the next game? Do you know what I mean? Would that not counteract it if Celtic win at Tynecastle and Rangers get beat? Would that not be over anyway? But I think, no, I've never want my rivals to win at Ibrox, and I think Celtic had a chance 1 year before to win the league at Ibrox, and I think we blew them away, to be honest. I think that was kind of, you know, the adrenaline pumping through the players to see it's not happening in their pitch. So we've endured that, and I remember a time, you know, we won at Parkhead to win the title then. Do you know what, it's a wee building exercise at Rangers, and obviously I was going to talk about Jack Butland, and I think that's maybe where we have to start, to be honest. I've been crying out, you know, saying we need to score more goals than that, but I think, to be honest, we need to tighten up at the back. I think we've conceded a lot of too many leaky goals, so I think Jack Butland will be a good signing. You know, he's experienced, he's been in the Premier League, I think he's had about 80 odd appearances in the Premier League with Stoke City and things like that, so I think he'll be solid at the back, to be honest. Good replacement for, well, I don't think you'll ever replace McGregor, to be honest. He's a legend at the club, but I think he's a good start, to be honest. But I would like Robbie McCrory to get a chance. I've always said that. I think he's been a wee bit unlucky with injuries, but when he got thrown in an Old Firm game a couple of years back and pulled off a couple of cracking stops. So I think I'd like a defender, a wee bit more creative in the midfield, and definitely looking for a poacher in the box as well, to be honest.
The timing's going to be interesting, Cammy, because I think Michael Beale said that, you know, the business would all be done, if you like, for the first day of pre-season. That's, I think clearly clubs would always try and do it early, but for various reasons, some of which are perfectly justified, it just doesn't happen. But it feels like if those public sound bites are to be believed, that there will be a real emphasis on that from Rangers this season.
Listen, in an ideal world, I think Michael Beale would want that. Whether that actually happens or not, as you say, there's a number of circumstances that can be stumbling blocks. But that's your dream, is to have your squad together on the first day you meet up for pre-season. You train together, you play your pre-seasons together, and you prepare for the season ahead. So that's a dream, what he wants. Whether that happens or not, I'm unsure. I don't think he'll have every single player in the door by that point. But they do need a number of areas. They need to bulk up their squad, and with quality, though, that's the main thing. They need to bring in quality. It's not just quantity. I think they've done that in the past couple of seasons, just brought in numbers and a number of players that hasn't worked out for them. So they need to make sure these guys can be starting players. Michael Beale said that as well openly. He wants to bring in players who can start for him. So that's important that they do that and strengthen this squad.
You'll have seen it, Celtic, Cammy. How beneficial that can be. And like I say, it's not this like wild idea, because I'm sure people would like to do it, and it's understandable that they don't if they're waiting on options elsewhere. But it clearly can help a lot, can't it?
Yeah, but we only have to look to the turn of the year last year when the three players came in at Celtic and they won against Rangers. Hatate got the two goals, and speaking from experience at that stage of a season where the title race was still on, and you bring three more players in, not just the bulk of the squad, those three players more or less went into the starting 11, it gives everybody else round about a boost. And that's the impressive thing from my point of view with Ange. From day one, he knew exactly who he was wanting to bring in, having worked in Japan. He knew by the next one, and he's always, even as I say, if we'd said at the start of the season you could be losing Giakoumakis and Juranovic.
Alistair Johnson's a good example, isn't he? Because he was ready and then played against Rangers.
They already had him there.
It's seamless as well. That's a great example for me, is Juranovic. Everyone, Celtic fans were a little bit worried when he was moving on, and Alistair Johnson's just came in and for me is a better player, all round player, and I think he'll go on and do amazing things at Celtic.
Thank you to Paul. What are you two thinking then on this teaser? We're looking for six players.
I've got one.
Six players who've scored in an Old Firm game since 2000, and their first and second names begin with the same letter. Scott Sinclair.
Nacho Novo,
well done.
I've got one, but I don't even know if he's scored. Carlos Quella.
He has not. So we'll get the rest of the answers next. And before we go any further, some really important stuff. The big day is tomorrow.
Cash for Kids Day.
Been saying it for weeks, the 27th of April, so it's finally here tomorrow. Cash for Kids Day with our friends at 101 Convenience Stores. It is our big opportunity to help families living in Glasgow in the West, who for them, the cost of living crisis is their daily reality. Let's hear a bit from Craig Scott. He works for Glenbrae Children's Centre in Greenock. Now, they're an early learning and childcare centre helping families who really need their help the most. They received a grant from Cash for Kids just last year. And here Craig explains the reaction when they gave something that many of us would take for granted as being a simple thing like a supermarket voucher to the parents.
The parents were absolutely delighted. They used them to buy food, used it to buy clothing, and the feedback that we got was the vouchers and that they were able to get from Cash for Kids, they used the money that they didn't spend on shopping for like fuel and energy bills, you know, petrol and things like that as well. So they were really, really delighted about that.
That is the type of difference you can make. Cash for Kids Day is one of the ways that we try and do that. The easiest way is quite simply by donating whatever you can. Every single penny, we can guarantee 100% of your donation stays right here in Glasgow in the West. You can also get involved though in our Dress Like a Pop Star Day. I'm very interested to see how some dodgy characters in here turn up to work tomorrow. You can get your friends and colleagues involved at work as well. So please donate if you can, it would make such a difference. And you can download a fundraising pack as well at Clyde1.com/CFKday.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, Cammy Bell and Simon Donnelly, they're teaming up to try, and that's the key word here, try and come up with the answers to this full time teaser. Now it's been sent in by Jerry tonight, so we are eternally grateful to Jerry. Thanks for sending it. He wants you to name six players who've scored in an Old Firm game since 2000, and their first and surname starts with the same letter. So Scott Sinclair, Nacho Novo,
Carter Vickers,
Cameron Carter Vickers. Yeah, I'll give you that. That's fine. Any more, Cammy, from you?
Tough one, this.
I'm going to give you some clues, right? So the three you've got remaining: two Rangers, one Celtic.
Okay.
The Celtic one, it's technically not his first name. However, everybody, and I mean everybody knows him as this, right? You won't be angry when you hear the answer.
Right.
It's not some sneaky nickname. Yep.
So we would know him as this.
Put it this way: more people would know this name than his actual first name, for sure.
So that makes it easier.
And that's the Celtic one. Right. The two Rangers ones you've still to get. Now all three are going back a fair bit towards the beginning of this era. So I said
before,
it was from 2000 onwards.
2012. Right. So right back
to all three. Sorry. Yep. Okay. I'll let them bubble away nicely before the end. I've got a tweet from Brian. He sent me his match ticket. He says he's going to the game on Saturday between Falkirk and Inverness. He'll be in the Falkirk end. Let's start hearing from some of the key players in that one. I did say on this show and various others, I know that it's going to be overshadowed a bit, so let's do our best. John McGlynn says Falkirk, this will be a new education. Hadn't thought about this. Falkirk must get to grips with VAR if they're to be successful in this weekend's Scottish Cup semi-final against Inverness. They won't have used it, of course.
Yeah.
Blissfully unaware of how it works in League One.
How could you get used to it?
I don't know. Let's hear.
A kind of rotted set in. The club wasn't winning.
The biggest difference, what I see, is like, you know, it might well be that you think this guy's offside, the flag's not going up, you need to play on, and it might well be that the ball goes out of the park a minute later, and then you get the offside or something along these lines, where we need to recognise we need to play on. It could cost you.
It's a fair answer, yeah, you know. Yeah, having said that,
answered my question well.
Inverness don't have it either in the Championship, but we did say it does slightly
and
alter the way that.
You know, I'm thinking maybe a defender. You can't get away with, you know, pulling on jerseys, where if there's no VAR and the referee, you can sneakily maybe do that. So you need to be.
You're trying to say in League One, you think there's loads of shirt pulls that will be.
Well, they'll just have to be on their guard because these cameras pick it up. You get punished.
Fair point.
Yeah, very good point. I think they will need to be aware of maybe little niggle things that they maybe. Listen, there's no cameras in them leagues, so if there's a little niggle between two players that the referee's not looking at, they need to be aware that there's cameras on them at all times and not do anything silly, because I'd imagine it's going to be a tight game at Hampden on Saturday. I think it's two teams with a massive opportunity to get in a final, and they'll be delighted that they're there on Saturday.
Yeah,
they want to make it count as well.
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that's exactly what the next clip. I don't know if you've been. Listening to my thoughts, which is a dangerous place to be. John McGlynn talking about, you know, needing to take advantage. It's obviously not often that you get to a semi-final and you play another team that's not in the top flight.
really excited, yeah. It's a special occasion, you know. Scottish Cup semi-final, we've done really well to get here. You just don't know when the next time you possibly could get here. And with a half-decent, realistic opportunity to get to a final. Well, we believe that we can win this game. You know, we're underdogs. But we believe that on our day, if we play, bring our A game to Hampden on Saturday, then we've got a right good chance of getting through. And that would be huge. It'd be massive for the football club.
Just wonder if, to apply a theory then, if that does suit Falkirk, because sometimes when it's two, like, well, basically two non-Old Firm teams, when they meet, yeah, it can actually bring its own pressure because it's such a good opportunity to reach the final that, you know, that like I say, it brings its own pressure. So Falkirk have got that, but they are still a division below, so it still allows them to maybe feel like, you know, the underdogs.
Yeah, but I think although they are the league below, I don't think they're, well, it's kind of
like
said,
an expectant fan base and stuff.
I think it'll be tight. I think it'll be a tight game, and I think both teams will really have enjoyed that draw because they'll fancy their chances against each other. Falkirk already put air out. You know, it's Cammy says, it's a great opportunity for them to get to a national final, and then you go there as massive underdogs, but we've seen it before. Mm-hmm. To get there is a huge achievement for both these clubs.
Listen, once in a career opportunity that this is for these players, and that's not being disrespectful to any of them. That's just the realisation of this is what it is. This is your one opportunity to get to a Scottish Cup final. It doesn't matter who you're facing in that Scottish Cup final, but what a massive opportunity. And yeah, I would say Falkirk are slightly underdogs, especially the form that Inverness are on at the moment. They've been on unbelievable form. They've put this all in a right position within the playoffs now of the Championship. But as I say, I think it's going to be a right close game, and hopefully a good one.
It's a brilliant opportunity in the sense that if you go through it, I mean, Inverness, they've had that fairy tale element of actually getting knocked out and got back in because of Queen's Park's administrative error. They did knock Livingston out at Livy, but other than that, for both teams, I'm not saying it's been an easy route. There's no such thing as easy, but you couldn't have hoped for much better, really.
But I actually was at the game that they beat Kilmarnock at home.
Oh, I forgot what that was. Yeah, so, to be fair, my apologies to the good people.
Listen, their resilience in that game, because they went behind really early on in the game.
They deserved it though, didn't they?
Oh, totally. They were by far the better team. And it just showed you a bit of character though, because as soon as Kilmarnock scored, I thought, you know what, that's probably game over. They completely turned it around, and they've got good players. Billy Mackay's a key player for Inverness. He scores goals at that level, and he can hurt any team. So I think he's going to be key to what happens with Inverness on Saturday.
Our colleague Stephen Mill has sent this in. He says Wick, Alloa, Darvel and Ayr to get to the semi. Bleep joke of a run. Stephen's a Dunfermline fan, so that's why he's saying that. You know, at least that's the luck of the draw.
You should just be happy. You've got to be man
in it to win it. All that carry on. It doesn't really matter much once you get to this stage. I don't think Rangers haven't. They've not had many. I mean, they would be favourites in most games anyway, but I don't think they've played much in terms of top flight opposition. Have nothing at all from the top flight en route. Could be wrong, but not. Not often anyway, if I've let one slip my mind. How do you see it going, Cammy? And I ask you that it's early in the week, but you're our most informed pundit when it comes to lower leagues because you watch a lot of them.
Yep. Listen, I think you can't see by Inverness, and it's only because of the form that they're in. I think Billy Dodds has got his squad together. Inverness are a very good team. What they've struggled with earlier in the season is a lot of injuries, and a small club like Inverness can't handle a lot of injuries. So they've got their full strength team back. So he'll be looking forward to this game.
Yes, I know Rangers played St Johnstone, right? Forgive me. It's late in the show. It's late on in the show. Right, well, then it's so late in the show that you two need to give me three more names. We're looking for six. Let me quickly recap it. Sorry, six players who've scored in an Old Firm game since 2000. And their first and second names begin with the same letter. Scott Sinclair, Nacho Novo, Cameron Carter, Vickers. Three to get, go.
And mine's is for Celtic as
go
well.
Go Celtic one.
I don't know if he scored.
Hurry up.
Bobo Baldi.
Yes, and that's the one with the name Bobo Baldi. Well done.
Brilliant.
Right.
I presume that wasn't his name, that's why.
Two Rangers ones. I'm struggling. Two strikers, both sort of early 2000s era wise. Both very good strikers for what it's worth.
Scottish or?
No.
No.
No, okay. No.
Right.
Strikers.
One is South American. Did incredible things at international level.
Claudio Caniggia.
Claudio Caniggia. And the last one, one of the Dutch contingent.
Dutch contingent.
Same initials as Mickey Mouse.
Michael Moles.
Michael Moles.
Yes.
That's the quickest I've seen you move in years, Simon Donnelly.
Good clue.
Over the desk. Thank you very much. Good luck with the bar opening.
Thank you very much.
Tomorrow. Thank you to Simon Donnelly and Cammy Bell. We will be back tomorrow cranking up that build up to Scottish Cup semi-final weekend in the company of Mark Wilson and Gordon Deal. We'd love for you to join us. Hopefully you can. Thanks for doing so tonight. Callum Gallagher is up next. He'll look after you for the rest of the night.